As a process, it's been, well, we've had a lot of processes of engagement. So as a process, it's been, how do you communicate really technical issues, maybe technical struggles or roadblocks we have, and that may be very important to the Department of Transportation, but perhaps don't matter as significantly to the neighborhoods when their focus is probably on the connection to their street system and how they'll be impacted on a daily basis. And so how do you take what the neighborhoods feel is the utmost priority for them and have that influence your design when your focus is going to be about regional mobility? So I think they have to go hand in hand.
So what's the answer to that? How do you marry those two?
Well, there's no single answer. So that's the challenge. How do you marry those? And it's a case-by-case basis. And I think both sides listening to the other and understanding sort of the struggle of what is the problem at any location and coming up with, in any case, the best compromise you can make it be, isn't that the challenge we have here every day?
Well, I'm sort of wondering about how the... I don't know, how do you deal with the frustrations that maybe come with that? Are there frustrations? I mean, are there ever times where you're kind of pulling your hair out and going, why don't you get it?
Wouldn't be human on either side if either side didn't express frustrations. And I think that the rapport we have with the neighborhoods as a team and as an agency, starting with Doug McDonald, who went and met with them, past Secretary McDonald met with the neighborhoods individually to say, we will work with you. Our teams actually know many of the people in the neighborhood who've worked on the program with us to come to a resolution on these issues on a first name basis. So when struggles or issues arise, they know who to call, and we know who we can ask the questions to, and it's being able to have those personal connections one-on-one, have conversations so that we can reach resolution. And that's what it's taking to deliver the program.
Looking then at the structure that you're going to be building, can you point out a couple of specific areas that are products of those conversations, products of compromise that wouldn't have been there had you not had the compromise or had the neighborhoods not had the compromise?
I think ultimate compromise was the location of the corridor. The corridor, of course, runs east and west.
You're talking about from I-5 to the...
From I-5 to the floating bridge, especially the segment from Washington Park Arboretum to the floating bridge. And we were in mediation, and the neighborhood to the north and the neighborhood to the south both wanted the corridor as far away from them as possible. And those two neighborhoods got together, and representatives through the mediation process, and communicated to the Department of Transportation the compromise for them, where the corridor would be. And we, of course, took engineering principles into account and agreed where the corridor would go, north or south. Mm-hmm. That is a compromise where it met our engineering needs and it satisfied the neighborhoods, and so could be incorporated into our designs.
Do you have some sort of wiggle room with regards to cost if a neighborhood is pushing for one particular compromise like that, and it's going to cost a wee bit more? Do you kind of go,
Well, on this compromise, it really didn't influence cost one way or the other. Is there compromise on issues where, you know, it may cost more? That's part of the conversations we have. I'll say that in this program and in many programs in the state, there are a lot of we call them mitigation, but we incorporate things like noise walls into the project. We're trying to incorporate features that make transit more accessible and or more accommodating for users, because we want that to be a feature that the public uses. And some of those features add cost to the project, but they also add significant value.